Now shall we seek the face of God together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise thy name for the gift of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We thank thee that he has made full salvation possible to each one of us. We thank thee for his death upon the cross, for his resurrection from the tomb, for his ascension into heaven, and for the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit upon thy people. And each one of us would say here tonight, Lord, my soul thirsteth for thee. We would seek thee beyond simply the knowledge of truth, but beyond a greater understanding of doctrine. Beyond all the joys of Christian fellowship, we would say to thee, dear Lord, my soul thirsteth for thee. For we know that if that is our prayer, ere this convention concludes, we shall be saying, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fat. Lord, fulfill thy promise. And satisfy the longing soul and fill the hungry with goodness, that we may leave this place at the end of next week, saying to thee, my soul followeth hard after thee. Do something in each one of our lives which will transform the life of barrenness and defeat and disappointment and disillusionment, and make us men and women after thine own heart. We thank thee for all thy care over us as we've traveled today. We thank thee for journeying mercies. And we thank thee for the spirit of expectation with which we meet in this tent tonight. Now, Lord, come upon this gathering. O God, rend the heavens and come down among us. And may this first night be memorable as an evening when the power of God has been set loose. Anoint thy servant with a double portion of thy spirit. May he know the joy of having fresh oil from the sanctuary. And as he speaks, may we see far beyond him to our living, triumphant Lord. And dear Savior, we cry to thee that as the outcome of this convention at Keswick, thy church may receive such a touch of Holy Spirit life and power that she may be the better equipped to face the world in all its darkness and all its need. O breath of God, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of God, come cleanse, renew us. Renew and equip thy church to meet this hour. Hear our prayer, and hear the prayer of every heart here tonight, and speak, Lord, in the stillness as we wait on thee. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen. Now let us hear the word of God from the 61st chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61. I'm reading from the Revised Standard Version. You may follow in your authorized or any other version you have. Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called
oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Aliens shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall be your plowmen and vine dressers. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. Men shall speak of you as the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory. Instead of your shame, you shall have a double portion. Instead of dishonor, you shall rejoice in your lot. Therefore, in your land you shall possess a double portion. Yours shall be everlasting joy. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring in the midst of the peoples. All who seal them shall acknowledge them, that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. If my reckoning is correct, this is the 85th time that the convention has met at Keswick since its foundation in 1875, 92 years ago. And whether one thinks in terms of the lapse of time since the beginning, or the number of occasions that it has been possible to hold a convention here, it has certainly reached a venerable age. And those who have memories of the early days are a very dwindling number. Perhaps uppermost in our minds are the memories of two of God's servants who have been called home during the last year after giving many years of voluntary service to the convention, which was always their first love. I refer first to Mr. Clarence Foster, who, after sending greetings to the convention the day before it started, was called into the immediate presence of his Lord on the very day that we met last year. For many years he was a member of the convention council, serving at one time as its honorary secretary, and later as a much honored elder statesman in the capacity of vice chairman and editor of the Keswick Fellowship newsletter. I will say no more about him, as we were able to pay a tribute to his memory last year, and a memorial service was held in London shortly after. But we welcome his widow, Mrs. Dorothy Foster, who during her husband's long illness was unable to attend the convention, as he and she had done for a great many years. I want to draw special attention, however, to our beloved friend, Mr. A.W. Bradley, affectionately known as Sandy to all his friends, whom the Lord called to himself in March last. On medical advice, he and Mrs. Bradley had to remain in Ireland during the convention latterly, but they still lived for Keswick and all that it stands for. It was my privilege to spend several days in their home last December, and every evening we spent some time in prayer together. And Mr. Bradley would pour out his heart in prayer for the Keswick Convention. He was a mine of information about the past, for he had been associated with the convention from the beginning of this century. And though he only became a trustee and a member of the council after the First World War, when he also became honorary treasurer, he and Mrs. Bradley had been responsible for missionary hospitality at Keswick for many years before that. During the last war, they made their home in Keswick and endeared themselves to the inhabitants so that they were no longer regarded as foreigners, as normal visitors are, but accepted as belonging to the local community. I think that's the greatest tribute that could be paid to them. They were instrumental in starting a weekly local prayer meeting for the convention, which still meets every Monday evening, and while Mr. Bradley was alive, he never failed to write every week to those who met so faithfully to pray. We have procured an enlarged photo, or had an enlargement of a snap, for Mr. Bradley never liked to have his photo taken, but we have enlarged photos of Mr. Foster and Mr. Bradley on view in the office in Erskine Street, which people may like to look at during the week before these photos are hung in the council room in the office. With the passing of these two stalwarts, a very precious link with the past has been broken. Both of them manifested in their own lives the emphasis in the convention on practical Christian holiness, both in thoughtfulness for others and in the sterling integrity of their characters. Like Isaiah in the chapter just read, they exulted in the knowledge that they had been clothed with the garments of salvation, the robe of Christ's righteousness. And they were indeed examples of those who were called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. It's been my privilege, as you heard during the earlier months of this year, when speaking at conventions in India and the Far East, to meet with many mature Christian leaders, nationals of the countries concerned, who demonstrate in their own lives not only that they have been saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation, but in many cases, through the influence of the convention movement, what it is to be men of integrity, on whom others can rely, because they are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and so glorify him. The emphasis at Keswick has always been that it is not enough to be doctrinally sound, but sound doctrine, if effective, must produce practical holiness of life. The Apostle Paul reminded the Christians at Philippi that they lived in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. We are only too well aware of the crooked nature of the world in which we live, including this country, which has enjoyed so many spiritual privileges in the past. Once again, God has allowed a spiritual awakening to take place in the lives of many thousands of people through the All Britain Crusade led by his servant Billy Graham. If these young saplings, as we might call them, are to grow strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, the emphasis given at Keswick on the need for holiness of living, as well as believing faith, as the result of the indwelling spirit, will result in strong trees, trees of righteousness, grounded deep in the word of God, and so bringing glory to his name. We welcome at this opening meeting all who have made it possible to come, and some have traveled long distances, But we particularly welcome all who have come to the Keswick Convention for the first time. We haven't tried it out this time, and perhaps we'll give it a go by this year, but usually we find that about half of the people who are here for the first time, and the other half have been here more than once. But especially we welcome those whose spiritual birth stems from the Greater London Crusade last year, or even from the more recent All Britain Crusade, and also those who have come from far countries to enjoy the spiritual fellowship of a great multitude of God's people. We welcome, too, our blind friends at these seats in front, or just under the platform, and pray that the Lord will compensate them for the lack of what we enjoy by giving to them the hearing ear and the understanding heart. I'm sure we have the greatest sympathy with them and hope that they will really enjoy their time of fellowship with us. We live in a time when we hear constantly of wars and rumors of wars, and life is cheap in many parts of the world, and even in our own country. There are those in China especially, in other lands, under the rigorous rule of communism, and wherever people suffer for the sake of the name, who are not free to meet in fellowship with other Christians, and in some cases are deprived even of the consolation of reading the Word of God for themselves. May the fellowship that we shall enjoy during this holy week of convocation not only strengthen us to become trees of righteousness, but lead us out in prayerful sympathy and intercession for those who cry out to God for the relief of their sufferings, that they may be able to stand firm and to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. In a great crowd like this, there are always some lonely ones, some who are overwhelmed and frustrated by problems that have baffled solution in their lives so far. You, as we, come here seeking the face of God. May you meet with Him, and He with you, for there is complete satisfaction in Christ and in Him alone. And to any who may have come here out of curiosity, and I think there are always a few like that, hardly knowing why you have come, and at the moment your attitude may be critical or skeptical, we hope that in these friendly surroundings, and we hope you'll find them friendly, where we are indeed all one in Christ Jesus, you may find yourself and go away with the quiet serenity that comes from having made peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and discover that His peace can garrison your heart against all the fears and frustrations of life apart from Him. We welcome as our speaker tonight, to give the closing address, Dr. Paul Rees, who travels all over the world in the Lord's service, and under the auspices of World Vision Incorporated, something of whose humanitarian work for orphans I have recently seen in Korea and elsewhere. Only a few months ago, my wife and I last met Dr. and Mrs. Rees in Hong Kong, but you might meet them in any part of the world where you happen to be. And now Dr. Rees is here once again to give the Bible readings during this week on the Epistle to the Galatians. We look forward to a rich feast as he opens the Word of God to us under the title of Free to Live. You have in your convention program a leaflet which gives a synopsis of the Bible reading.